What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Casey covers country.
Ian! How you doing, man?
How are you guys, man? I'm good. How are you?
Well, we've got you coming to a show at Del Mar Hall on the 29th, and part of the proceeds going to a really awesome organization here in town called Got Your Six, which we raised on the air $27,000. And part of the proceeds from your show are going to help Got Your Six as well, so that's pretty awesome.
Awesome, man. That's really cool. Now is the time to give back to the people and the things that need help. So that's awesome that you guys do that, and I'm just honored to be a small part of it, man. We're going to have a blast.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun show because we're still working out some details, but I'm pretty sure we're also going to do the check presentation to Got Your Six on stage.
Is it going to be one of those huge checks?
Yeah, you bet
it is. It's got to be a big check.
Nice. I've always wanted to hold one of those huge checks. That's all.
I'm sure we could arrange that. So, Ian, your name's coming up a lot more and more these days, and we're super excited to see that. I mean, obviously, you've got some awesome music. So you talked about this on Good Morning America the other day. We're like, oh, he's on Good Morning America right now. But the difference between Wyoming country and Nashville country, how would you describe that?
Oh, man. Growing up on a ranch in Wyoming in the Rockies, that is truly as Western as it gets. And, you know, there's a lot of cowboy influences in my music, but I really think what sets apart Wyoming and the Rockies in general is the landscape. And that's why people are so attracted to that part of the country.
Are you upset about the amount of celebrities that have decided to call Wyoming home over the last 10 years or so?
Yeah, I think it's a blessing and a curse. I think that Montana has taken the brunt of that. Wyoming is still a little bit more wild. I don't even count Jackson Hole as Wyoming. Geographically, yes, it's Wyoming, but culturally, it is not Wyoming. I also encourage them that if you're going to live out there, then I encourage them to live out there full time instead of just during the three best months of the year.
So speaking of being native to the West, give us a rundown of this documentary I'm seeing about Voices of the West.
Yeah, so that is a documentary that my wife and I made about Native American cowboys. It really struck me when I came out with my album White Buffalo a few months ago, because there's a lot of Native American inspiration in that album. Nashville was like, well, Ian has been all cowboy up until now, and now he's kind of switching to Native American. Don't you think people are going to be kind of off-put by that? And in my mind, they're inspired by the land and by the animals, and that is really the common thread. I think for this documentary, there's a lot of educational aspects that people are going to learn about, as well as bringing light to a people that don't often have that opportunity. So I'm very excited to premiere it.
I've spent a little bit of time, I think the furthest west I've really been, other than like California, which I don't know, I wouldn't really consider that to be like country
type of
but
west.
Like Colorado, it's just so beautiful on that side of the country, and I think it's awesome that you bring that appreciation for the land and obviously for the, you know, Native Americans and indigenous people that were there before. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you. I mean, it's called country music for a reason, right? There's country out there. So that's really what I'm trying to bring back into the format after all these years.
Okay, so I got to ask, can you tell us about the birth of the Belt Buckle Shuffle and where this comes from?
Oh, yeah. So when we came out with Cowboy the Killer a few years ago, it was right when TikTok was popping off. 2020, elaborate dances on TikTok. I was like, man, I can never learn how to do one of those. Like, that is impossible. So what I did was I just asked myself, what's the easiest thing that I can do that is kind of ridiculous, but that highlights what I wear on stage? And, you know, I'm always wearing a bolo tie and a belt buckle on stage. So I just grabbed a belt buckle, bring it around town, man. And that's what I've done on almost all of our live shows. And the first time I did one, we were open for Cody Johnson. And, I was like, oh, man, this is a pretty hardcore cowboy crowd, man. We'll see how they react. And, man, they freaked out and they loved it. So I was like, man, if Kojo's fans like it, then I'm sure that other people are going to like it, too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of stuck.
That's so true. That's awesome. Ian, I want to be cognizant of your time here, but I also want to say thank you so much for coming out and playing a show for us. Again, those tickets are on sale still. You can get them. It's a smaller venue, so those are going to be limited. If you want to see Ian before he pops off and gets huge, now is your time to do that at Del Mar Hall, 92.3WIL.com. Ian, thanks for hanging out with us today. We appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank you for having me, guys. I cannot wait to throw down in St. Louis with you guys. It's going to be great.
Kelsey Ballerini calling out the Jonas Brothers. She hopped on her Instagram stories Friday and did one of those Ask Me Anything, like Q&A sessions with her fans because she was on a plane. Mm-hmm. And she ended up revealing some fun facts about the Jonas Brothers' newest song, Strong Enough, featuring Bailey Zimmerman. Kelsey's always been super outspoken about being a Jonas Brothers fan and how just excited she was whenever they asked her to go on tour. I think that was like the summer of 2021. They came to St. Louis Music Park.
Yep.
And she was like, you know what? I might be on tour with the Jonas Brothers. That doesn't make me cool. I'm still fangirling out every single night behind the stage. I'm still freaking out about it just like you guys. So it wouldn't be surprising if they ever got into the studio together, right?
Yeah.
So during this Q&A, one fan asked, hey, when's the Jonas Brothers collab? Which led Kelsey to expose that it already happened.
Oh, really?
She replied and she said, to be so honest, I was on Strong Enough, but indeed got replaced. Bailey's sick though.
What?
Crying emoji, melted face emoji.
Seriously? She was on the song?
Yeah.
And they and replaced her with Bailey?
Straight called it out. After listening to the song, I think I can maybe understand why they liked Bailey's voice for this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, something that I think doesn't get talked about often enough is that this happens all the time. They'll start with one artist on a song and then they'll have like five people sample it and then they'll end up going with someone else. It's kind of the same way if you think about Dustin Lynch. I was just thinking about that weekend. That was originally Lauren Elena on that song with him, and then she got booted for Mackenzie Porter.
Gotcha.
So
maybe they just wanted a dude voice.
Maybe they did. And it's kind of a song about like going out and partying and stuff. Yeah. And I don't know. It kind of feels like a Bailey Zimmerman song. In fact, it sounds like this.
And life is too short to be wasted. So let me up, twist me something good, make it strong enough, last long enough.
You know what I mean? Like, it just sounds like Bailey fits on it.
Yeah. It also sounds a lot like that other song that they did.
They all sound the same.
No, they're all the same.
They've got a sound and they're sticking to it. It's the Joe Bros. But yeah, Kelsey, mercy. Just calling it out. I was on the song and they actually cut me. So
I'm still stuck on the fact that it sounds like that Waffle House song. It is the Waffle House song?
No, it's not the Waffle House song.
It sounds like the Waffle House song.
I just told you it sounds like Waffle House because they all have the same song. In fact, if anybody's curious, here it is. Wait, here we go.
I swear to you, it's the same song.
Versus.
Life is too short to be wasted.
Switch it up.
Yes.
Transfer something good, make it strong enough.
Yes.
We gotta stop talking about the Jones Brothers.
On to you, Joe Bros.
The people don't care.
See what you're doing.
Ever thought of Keith Urban as a bad boy?
No, not at all.
I don't think anybody really does. He really came onto the Australian music scene in the 80s, which kind of shakes me when I think about it a little bit, because I consider Keith Urban a early 2000s country artist, right?
Yeah.
And as I was looking into him earlier this morning, I realized that it wasn't until 1992 when he finally moved to Nashville. So I'm just doing a little background work here. And this is something I always forget about when it comes to Keith Urban and specifically Morgan Evans. They kind of have to rise in the music industry twice because they're doing it in their home country of Nashville. And then once you hit, I'm sorry, their home country of Australia. But once you hit that whole country and you become a big star over there, your next place to go is Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
You think about Morgan Evans. He's not like huge over here. Literally married Kelsey Ballerini, has lived and worked in Nashville for the last decade and still hasn't quite broken through. But he has a huge following in Australia. Keith Urban kind of went through the same thing. And when Keith Urban was on the, what was it called? Let me find this podcast name. He was on the Talking Junkies podcast, and they asked him like, oh, you know, if you weren't doing the same question every artist gets asked, if you weren't doing music, what would you be doing? And he didn't skip a beat when he said, in jail probably, because he said that rising into the music scene in Nashville in the U.S. was so hard that he was leaning on cocaine and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I knew this about him.
Yeah, he struggled a lot with that. Through the years.
He said he was struggling the most in the 90s and mid-2000s, and he went undergoing, you know, rehab stays here and there. And he said, you know, he probably just would have been in jail. And he went on to explain that the only option was music, and it was for music to work out, because when he realized what a downfall it would have become if it didn't work out, and how he would have just spiraled into drugs and alcohol even further than he had been, that was the only choice, was to make it happen.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these artists, they end up, like, music is their outlet, obviously. That
right.
becomes their addiction over the other things. You know, we've seen a lot of people go find sobriety through music.
Uh-huh.
A lot of artists, and Keith is definitely one of them. I think he's one of the few that made it out the other side on, like, the hard stuff, because he was going down a path there for a while.
That's what he made it sound like.
Yeah.
And I think that's what surprises me, because I think I knew he was a sober artist, but we have a lot of them that you might not even realize. But I didn't realize that he was doing the hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in such a pivotal time in his career. Like, he moved to Nashville in 92, but like I said, I think we think of him mostly as an early 2000s artist.
Yeah. And of just an awesome dude. Like, he's just so fun.
And he's so great. He's so nice. He's so chill. He just wants to hang out.
Yeah, I'm glad he found it. I'm glad he found it.
He just wants to get highlights in his hair and kiss Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
And have fun at shows. So also glad he's found his way out. This definitely kind of surprised me a little bit. Zach Bryan made history at the Billboard Music Awards. Sunday night was the Billboard Music Awards, and Zach Bryan picked up 4 trophies in one category, and he did something that's never been done before. Zach Bryan won Top New Artist of the Year, and this is a big deal because it's one of the bigger awards for the night. It's like all genre, and a country artist has never won Top New Artist before.
Wow, never?
That makes him the first.
Congratulations to ZB.
And he is so, like, I doubt if he was even there last year. He is so new that this is a pretty big feat for him. In addition to that, he also scooped up 3 more awards in the rock category.
Nice.
He won Top Rock Artist of the Year, Top Rock Album of the Year for American Heartbreak, and Top Rock Song of the Year for Something in the Orange. I don't know why Something in the Orange is considered a rock song.
That's interesting.
I can make arguments for, like, him being a rock artist or the album being a rock album. That's fine. But the song, I don't get.
Yeah, that's interesting. Also, was he there? Do you know if he was at the award show?
I don't think he was there. Truthfully, I didn't watch it.
Because I know that was his whole thing.
He wasn't going to go to award shows because
award shows,
need them.
Yeah, they're all political, whatever. And now he's winning them. So is he like, I'm still going to put this on the mantle.
Wow! I guess I'm going to celebrate. But also, the Billboard Music Awards, I think of them as kind of different because a lot of them are based on the charts and the numbers and, like, the actual spins and streams that things get. So
yeah.
In my eyes, it makes it a little bit more credible. I could see if he was chummy with the Billboard Music Awards. And Morgan Wallen was actually the big winner of the night. I'm pretty sure he took home 11 Billboard Music Awards.
I mean, he pretty much took up a residence on
the charts.
All the charts, you know?
The top 200 album chart all year long. The top 100s all year long. He was at the top with whatever his current single was.
Yeah.
So
shout out to Zach Bryan and Morgan Wallen.
Shout out to the boys, just bending genre rules everywhere. As we end the year, Toby Keith is giving everybody a bit of a health update. He first shared his stomach cancer diagnosis with fans back in June of 2022. I can't believe it's been that long already. And since then, he's been clear about his intentions to heal first, spend time with family, taking it easy, and slowly but surely get back on the stage. And we've seen him here and there.
Yeah.
He was recently on the Sellout Crowd Sports podcast where he gave a little bit of an update on the latest with his health.
It's a roller coaster all the time with this stuff. I have the resources, financially and otherwise, to get the best treatments I can get. It's got some other kind of treatments, and I'm trying them all.
He's trying them all. Nothing really, what's the word? Nothing too, like, promising just yet, essentially. But he says he's throwing the kitchen sink at it. And even in this difficult time, he continues to hold on to the idea that he can use his platform to spread awareness and potentially help others who are fighting, simply because, as he goes on to say, because I have the money to try every treatment possible, then I have the money to, like, weed out the ones that don't work. And I have the platform to spread the word of, like, okay, now I understand what's going on in my body. And if this is similar to what's going on in yours, let me tell you what's working for me, which is super beneficial.
Yeah, I think anybody who has known someone that's gone through cancer treatment, it's very much a roller coaster.
Right.
It's numbers are here, they're good, you feel good about it, and then you go in a couple weeks, they're not the same.
Right.
You try a different treatment, and it's just this whole up and down thing. So thankfully he's being super open about it, and like you said, he does have all the money. So
he's got the money, and he's doing what he can. He has a really good analogy about cancer, too.
The cancer's an island, and you're on a boat, and nobody goes over to that island when you don't have it. And as soon as you crash land on it, there's a lot of boats there. Everybody's got this stuff. If I can survive this and live to tell my story, maybe I can save somebody else's life.
Yeah.
Hope the best for Toby, that's for sure.
He's not letting anything stop him, and he's even hitting the Vegas stage in December for 3 sold-out shows to end the year on a good note. Garth Brooks has a huge weekend ahead. He will open the doors to his Friends in Low Places bar in Honky Tonk for the very first time.
Oh.
Yesterday on CBS Mornings, Garth said that this is like him paying Nashville back for everything that the city has given him over the years. He bought this 3-story, 40,000 square foot property back in December of 2021. Isn't that wild? I feel like it was just yesterday. I was sitting right there and I was telling us about this on a Casey Covers Country story. Like, oh, Garth Brooks is going to open a bar.
You had all these great appetizers and meals that were all based on Garth Brooks songs.
Yes. And if they're not there, I mean, what a wasted opportunity. Well, now it's finally opening and they're currently hiring if anybody's just trying to skip town and go be a bartender in Nashville. I looked it up online. And it's a tropical beach theme, which hits me as very random.
That is very random.
Like when you look at it, I actually thought I was looking at a Florida Georgia Line logo. It feels very Kenny. Just look up Friends in Low Places Bar.
I'm going.
And the website will pull up. But I thought, okay, you know, it's Garth, so he does what he wants. So whatever. You see it?
It's so weird.
It's so random to me for Nashville.
Okay.
Maybe if it was in a Florida location. I don't know. Anyway, so this Friday night, he'll even be there to play the very first set on stage, and fans can only get tickets through radio stations in Nashville are giving away tickets to get in this weekend.
This doesn't look like a bar to me. So the outside of it is all glass, and it's like you said, it's 3 stories. This to me feels like, man, for those of you that were around when TRL was huge,
yes,
it looks like it's a Times Square kind of situation.
And this is down on Lower Broadway, so I'm not quite sure what's around it, but it's not necessarily in the action of like Dierks Bentley's and, you know, Ole Red and all that stuff. It's a little off to the side.
Yeah, it's still in the thick of it.
Garth is like the 20th artist to get their own bar in Nashville. We all know this. And yesterday on CBS Sundays, they asked Brooks and Dunn, why won't there be a Brooks and Dunn Nashville bar? And Ronnie Dunn was very honest when he said, we're just afraid to be in the bar business and we don't have as much money as Garth, so he can sneak around and take risks that we can't.
They are, for a fact, dude, sneaking around. I'll tell you that right now. He's probably in this studio somewhere right now.
Oh my gosh. Remy's cracking himself up. We got to get off the air. So, yeah, if you're going to Nashville anytime in the near future, make sure you stop by Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places Bar and let us know if the tropical theme is at as awkward in person as it seems online. Yeah. Blake Shelton's tackled country music, television, and now he's going Hallmark. On Wednesday, Blake Shelton announced the premiere of his Hallmark movie he produced called Time for Her to Come Home for Christmas.
My mother-in-law mentioned that he was doing something like this, and I go, I did not even know. Mm-hmm. I had no clue that he had his hands in some sort of, you know, Hallmark-y kind of Christmas movie.
Oh, you bet he does. And I'll give you the, I'll set the scene. It's about a young woman named Carly, a young musician who heads to small town America to work with a church choir for the holiday season. But that's when she meets strapping young Army veteran who has a talent for singing, and the holidays take on a whole new meaning.
I'm helping a choir prepare for their Christmas services. It'll be good to get out of town.
La 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 la.
You have a really nice voice. You ever thought about joining the choir?
From executive producer Blake Shelton, Time for Her to Come Home for Christmas.
So quite the title. It's time for you to get your butt home for Christmas, okay?
Well, actually, this is like a series he's kind of made. I really didn't know it was this deep either. But it's his fifth Hallmark Christmas movie. Yeah. The first one called Time for Me to Come Home for Christmas, then Time for Us to Come Home for Christmas, Time for You to Come Home for Christmas, and Time for Him to Come Home for Christmas. So now it is finally time for her to come home for Christmas.
Oh my gosh. Fa la 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 la.
You have a really great voice.
Oh, thanks.
You will not see Blake Shelton in this. He has just produced them. Which means, you know, he's paying for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you will recognize, I'm pretty sure, Grace Greer of American Idol is in it. I think.
Is Candace Cameron in this?
I think this is the one with Shanae Grimes.
Okay.
Of the new 90210 and Degrassi. Maybe that was a different one. I don't know.
No Janet Kramer?
Janet Kramer's nowhere to be seen. No Candace.
Lacey Chabert. Okay. I don't like it already, because none of the Hallmark staples are in any of these.
Hey, it still looks a super Hallmark. This brought up the concept in my mind of, do you think that Hallmark really has their finger on the pulse in the sense that, like, they have these low budget movies,
mm-hmm.
and now there's such a stigma around them, and everybody knows what you're talking about when you say a Hallmark movie or a Hallmark Christmas time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that they've really hit the nail on the head with the, how about we make 60 new Christmas movies a year? They're all going to be capped at $100 production each, and they're all going to go wild because everyone who loves Hallmark movies has them on repeat all season long. Next thing you know, you've got Blake Shelton buying into it.
It is a formula that they have it down to, for sure.
And
it sounds like Blake just takes the same title and replaces a couple words, and then they got a new movie.
New year, new movie. And it sounds like they're making...
It's time for the dog to come home for Christmas now.
They're making more money than they lead on with their production value.
It's time for my mother-in-law to come home for Christmas.
How long do you think it takes to film a Hallmark Christmas movie? It cannot...
A couple hours.
Cannot be more than a couple weeks.
They show up to some location. They make it snow.
We can knock it out in a day.
Yeah, easy.
Casey Covers Country.